this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Reporter. I would just want to thank all of our sponsors. Oh, my goodness. Thank you so very much. Thank you, listeners, as well, for supporting our sponsors. And thanks for everyone who tunes in to the Hagman and the Hagman Report. We're waiting to connect with Roger Stone. You know, thinking about things, don't you... folks, I love music, and sometimes I turn to music. Music being one of life's greatest pleasures, I turn to music to be relaxed. Sometimes for motivation, sometimes for... just to fix, you know, if you're feeling down or you even body aches. Look, music has tremendous power. It's got the power to bring a tear to the eye, quiet a racing mind, power to heal. It's got the power that's been used throughout the ages to treat depression, to create energy, to induce sleep, to relieve chronic pain. I can go on and on and on. Music is a tool, folks. Let me direct you to Whole Tones. At WholeTonesLive.com, WholeTonesLive.com. Musician and author Michael Terrell, he was on with us here not too long ago, and he explained the process of WholeTonesLive.com. He explained his music projects, and now he's got a discography, or what do you call that, a discography? I don't know, but it's a wonderful visual stimulation project. Folks, you can benefit right now from this revitalized ancient healing music therapy simply by listening daily to the music and to Whole Tones Live in the comfort of your own home or your car or your office. You know, as we go from spring into summer, oh my goodness, reward yourself with the gift of healing and transformation. Don't miss this opportunity to get an absolutely free sample of the music, this particular music. I recommend this highly. So you can bring the benefit into your home. Bring it to your family. Bring it to your wife, your children, especially if you've got toddlers or even babies, pets. Folks, support this show. Go to WholeTonesLive.com and get a free sample of these soothing, relaxing, revitalizing musical tones. Go to WholeTonesLive.com. I'm going to spell that for you. That's whole as in entire. It's WHOLE, Whole Tones, TONES, WholeTonesLive.com. You will be glad you did. WholeTonesLive.com. Michael Terrell, just such a gifted artist, and the music projects are just absolutely wonderful. WholeTonesLive.com. Now, as we wait to connect with Roger Stone, you know, he's been in the news lately, and in case you haven't heard, he's a little busy at the moment juggling plates. I read an interesting story about Roger, and I didn't know this, but back when he was in first, when he was in first grade, I think I might have it here. he was involved in politics back in first grade. He convinced his first grade class to vote against Nixon. I think he did, despite the fact that he later work for Richard Nixon, but by convincing students that if they didn't vote against Nixon or Nixon by voting for Nixon, the school would be on Saturday too. I mean, it's just an incredible story. His life is—it's an incredible life, an incredible journey. And we know that right now the deep state has declared war on him. So we're going to be talking with him, hopefully momentarily. And again, I know he's busy. He was mentioned, I think, almost 24 times, 19 at least, that I counted in the House Intelligence hearings, meetings with the Comey. And
there's an article on Drudge today from the Miami Herald.
Yes.
Hardball political operative Roger Stone finds himself on receiving end.
Yeah.
And there goes the ad popped up here. But, yeah, he's going to have to... Well, he talks about the politicalization, the polarization of this, and how
he's scheduled now he's scheduled next week to appear in front of the House Committee, I believe, the House Intelligence Committee. So he's going to have, and I'm glad he's going to have that time. At least we'll have to ask him about it when he comes on. But it's my understanding from just everything that I know. This man has been set up so... I mean, he's been set up. he has been used as a pinata, a political pinata, and a practical one, a virtual one at that too. If you check him, what, the week before last, or it would be last week perhaps, he was T-boned. He was driving his car and he was struck by another car, T-boned, at an intersection, and hit his head pretty hard, and is, in fact, has some residual eye problems right now from that accident. And then, of course, you all know of his what happened when he got really ill. But Roger Stone is his books too, the Clinton's War on Women, and his latest book, of course. And folks, if you haven't read this book, this is a fantastic book, The Making of the President of 2016 by Roger Stone, an incredibly talented author. And he appears on all of the news programs except for the progressive liberal media, of course. But again, he's a talented author. He's a incredibly seasoned political operative and pundit. He's a veteran of nine presidential campaigns. He served as senior campaign aide to three Republican presidents. He's an outspoken libertarian. He's the author, again, of the, one of my favorite books, by the way, is The Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ. I read that book, and I've got, and you can even ask Tech Eric and my daughter, we have a huge library here, over 1,500 books, and one whole section is dedicated to JFK assassination research. Well, I would rank The Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ, at the top. At the top, bar none. And his latest book is equally good about Donald Trump. So while we're waiting for him to come on, just some information there. And of course, you know, being a political pinata and the target of the progressive left, it cannot be. It's going to be tough, especially when words like treason are thrown around. Can you imagine? And it's one thing to say, you know, well, you know, it's this name calling and such. No, I mean, this guy, again, knowing what I know, is being set up for some pretty bad stuff. And he, because he poses such a threat to the progressive globalist elite. So.
And same thing with Trump and his, yeah. Team. I mean, you know, they're being dragged through the mud and
yes.
What some call a political witch hunt. And we've seen the narrative continue since, you know, last summer with this Russian narrative, from Russia hacked our elections to Russia influenced our elections to Trump colluding with Russia, without any evidence, without one shred of presentable evidence, even, from what I understand, circumstantial evidence.
Well, I guess, yeah. You know. Well, anecdotal evidence probably would be more.
But still, I mean, and just this week, I paid attention to, you know, some of the MSNBC stuff, and I know, Dad, you watch some of the same shows. We talked about Brian Williams. Within, you know, a 3-minute period at the opening of his show 2 nights ago, he demanded proof of Trump's wiretapping allegation, saying how this Trump saying Obama wiretapped him was completely false, fabricated, a complete lie. And he wanted, if there was any proof, he wanted it right now. And, you know, without even taking a breath, he turns to the next story, the Russia-Trump collusion, without any evidence, basically talking about it as it was fact. And we continue to see these pundits, these Democratic congressmen,
yep.
Part of the, you know, Obama administration loyalists, coming out and continuing to throw baseless unsubstantiated accusations with one anonymous source, or, you know, the fake dossier we saw that was created by a British spy and meant to be used against Trump, which BuzzFeed and CNN reported on, turned out to be a complete bogus intelligence report that was never had any facts in it. It was created just for the purposes of to make Trump look bad. And my question with all this is, why are we seeing, I mean, why can't they get off the story? What are we being distracted from? What is the underlying agenda? And this, we know, from the Obama's organization, they want to uproot the Trump administration. They want power. They want the control over the power.
I don't think it's a distraction, though. I think
no. I'm, I mean,
but, Go ahead.
It is a distraction because it's for almost a year we've been hearing, not a year, about 8 months we've been hearing nothing but, you know, Russia, they're our enemy.
Right.
All this time there's no evidence whatsoever. The only issue was with one of Trump's appointments with General Flynn, who was working and did not disclose this to people. This is why he got fired. Did not disclose this with Pence. He was working for Turkey as a lobbyist.
Right. He actually registered subsequent to, but nonetheless, the informal relationship.
And the conflict of interest and the lying to the vice president, I can understand that.
But don't fall in, this is my advice, and tell me if I'm wrong, okay? When you say, what are we being distracted from when they're pushing the Russian narrative?
Or, not that, if it isn't a distraction, it's a strategy to undermine the Trump administration and an attempt to, what do they hope to get out of it? Even the investigation that's ongoing now is not a criminal investigation. It's an intelligence gathering investigation where...
But somebody's...
They're trying to set Trump up. We talked about this yesterday. The possibility of bringing out fabricated evidence. They continue to harp on this for a reason, and I don't think we fully understand what those reasons are yet. They have an agenda.
Ooh.
They have a big play, a big con... A long con, as some would say, running on this, and I don't think we've seen the ends of it. And that's my biggest concern: is the fabrication of evidence.
And however, I believe the end game, and I think this is so important. I believe the end game on this. And anyone who doesn't believe this, but the end game here is to get rid of President Donald Trump, or get rid of Trump as president. I don't think that this was. I think that is the. It's not a distraction. I think that's the motive here.
But how can they
legitimize that?
Without evidence, without proof, without facts. I mean, they're continuing to push this story because I believe they have an end result. Not that they're going to be relying on actual evidence or facts from an investigation.
Right.
But they have something else in mind. I believe that.
We will see that sooner than later, I think. But here's what I think. When you say they've got something else in mind, I think, in my view, what they have in mind is step two. Not plan B, but step two.
Right.
Okay, and that step two is taking down not just President Donald J. Trump, duly elected. Yes, okay, sure. You've got the...
not my president.
Right, but in tandem with that, concurrent with that, is to take down the institution of our government institution, our constitutional republic. And I think that's the ultimate objective. And President Donald Trump stands in the way. But more important, well, equally important, I shouldn't say more important, you've got political figures like Roger Stone, you've got political advisors, you've got people around the president, in the orbit of President Donald Trump, and they're picking them off one at a time. And that's what I see taking place. And you know, I just... When you start seeing people, and this is my personal view, when you start seeing people like Roger Stone, a political advisor, very seasoned, tough guy, I mean, really a tough guy, very adept at political, you know, dodging all the political shenanigans, in the crosshairs of the intelligence community, as you said, you know, without anything other than anecdotal evidence. However, nonetheless, in the crosshairs, based on alleged incidental communication surveillance, everything is open. Okay. All right. Just getting some information here. And again, you've got to understand. Okay, Roger Stone has been scheduled to come on
and confirmed again today.
Yeah,
so I don't know if there's an issue. Obviously, finding out you got to go testify, you know, at the intelligence committee. There could be
some legal issues, sir.
And yeah, I mean, if it doesn't work out today, maybe we can.
Anyway, you know what? It's early.
John's one that put this all together. So we'll bring him on and hear what John has to say. John, are you there?
Well, John. I am, Joe. Thank you so much for letting me jump in here for a moment this evening. I apologize for interrupting, but I just wanted to speak with you directly and take a quick minute to thank all the Hagmann listeners and viewers for bearing with us. Roger Stone's team is phenomenal. They're great people. And apparently what's going on is he is having really a rough day. So he has a Global Star call-in number. There is a possibility that we may be able to bring him in. He can join in progress at some point this hour. But I just wanted to touch base with you and let you know that I've been in communication with his publicist as well as his manager. And as of right now, Mr. Stone is unavailable.
All right. And we know that he was hurt. He's got physical, he has a detached retina. I know that he also had a head injury from that car accident. Look, folks, we're not playing games here. This is not a game. And it was a hit and run. I don't know how many people know about that. John, you know what we're all dealing with here, right? I mean,
Yes, sir, I do. And that's, thank you, Doug, for giving me another moment here. And I'll just take another moment of your time here this evening. But folks, please understand that as far as Mr. Stone is concerned, he's 100% a broadcast professional, a consummate professional, and a gentleman. He's got a great team. His publicist, Jen, his manager, Johnny, they're fantastic people. Bill McIntosh of Okeso Media was instrumental in putting this together. And the bottom line, folks, is this, and this is, there's no hyperbole here. There's no exaggeration. This is the world that we're working in right now. There have been not one, but two attempts on Mr. Stone's life in the past 2 weeks. And he was gracious enough to agree to join us this evening. But with all of the legal heat, with all of the fake stream media implications on his former business partner, regarding the whole Russian connection, et cetera, plus the fact that Mr. Stone is dealing with a detached retina and some lingering head trauma. They tried to poison him, and then about a week later, he was hit and run T-boned. And it was nothing short of a miracle from God that he lived through that incident. So I just want to be very clear to all the listeners and all the viewers this evening. He has a fantastic team. I've been on the phone with New York and D.C., and if Mr. Stone is able to join us in progress this hour, he will. And he does have one of the Global Star call-in numbers, and producer Todd will take care of that should he manage to join us this hour. If not,
well,
we will reschedule Mr. Stone and certainly keep him in your prayers, folks.
Indeed. And I'll tell you this. You remember our conversation from earlier today.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you, there are people who did not want Mr. Stone to appear on our program tonight. And I'm telling this to John for the first time. And as a matter of fact, the people here in studio don't know this, but there are people who advised us. I want to be very careful how I say this.
Yeah, be careful there, Doug.
Yeah, there are people who said you don't have Mr. Stone on. And my response to that was no. Period. My response was, well, you can imagine what my response was, and I'm not going to go any further than that. And the information has been passed along to the people who need to be informed about that, because we are not going to be silenced. We're not going to be pushed around. We're not going to be bullied. We're not going to be shut down or shut up. And I'm going to tell you something else. We stand behind Mr. Stone. We stand behind the people who are fighting against the deep state. And I want to thank you, John, for your tenacity. Because
it's
no easy job, man. And people got to understand what's going on. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll just make one final remark, and I'll hand it back to Joe and yourself. By the way, just a quick big Hagman thanks to our first hour guest, Faith Goldie. Her show, again, folks, On the Hunt, and that is once a week, every Thursday night on Rebel Media. I thought Faith did a phenomenal job. Stick with us for next hour. We've got former CIA officer Kevin Shipp returning to the program after it's been a couple of years since we've had him on. So we've got a great program planned for you tonight. And, folks, this is where it's really important that we have a 90-plus percent Christian audience. We need to cover not only Roger Stone in prayer, but his entire team, because I'll tell you what, we take some heat here at the Hagman and Hagman Report. We do. It's what we do day in and day out. Let's just say it takes a special breed, okay? And it takes a lot of prayer from all of you. But what Mr. Stone's team is dealing with right now is exponentially larger and more profound even than what we deal with day in and day out at Hagman and Hagman Report. And Doug, I'll pass it back to you, but I'm sure that you can attest that what we've been dealing with the last couple months, especially with this social media censorship, has just been a big, fat mess.
Absolutely. And you know, we see new issues coming of censorship, shadow banning on Twitter, you know, the hate speech on Facebook, where they're banning, I don't know if you heard the beginning, John, where there was a post somebody wrote up there about, you know, wanting to kill all white women, and that was reviewed by Facebook, and there was no, after they reviewed it, they said it did not violate their terms of service, yet they're turning around and saying, you know, people who are posting Bible verses and only Bible verses are violating their terms of service. And, you know, we see this war on free speech, this we talked about, with Faith Goldie, the, M103, the blasphemy law against Islamophobia that was passed in Canada, and it's just getting crazy. And just as a note to you, John, and to our audience, Kevin Shipp said he would jump in a half hour earlier, so he'll be joining us after this break to talk about a number of things. Former CIA officer,
he's another guy that let me tell you, folks, he's deserving of all of our prayers. He is fearless, and he is a man of integrity. And I really have a lot of respect for that man.
Well, gentlemen, I'm gonna take my gracious exit here from the show this evening. Thank you so much for having me on for a moment or two, folks. It's really serious game time right now. Please keep this show covered in prayer. We need your intercessory prayer. Remember Roger Stone and his team, Jen and Johnny in D.C. and New York, respectively. Cover them in Hagman prayer as well. And just God bless you all. Have a wonderful weekend. Doug, Joe, I'll hand it back to you. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, brother. And that was John Robertson, our producer, our program director, the guy that makes this happen in terms of guests. And let me tell you again, folks, what's going on in the back channels is so incredibly evil in my view. So incredibly troubling, disturbing. Disturbing is in our rearview mirror. We passed disturbing,
you know,
a long time ago.
Before we get to our break and bring Kevin Shipp on, there's a story. There's two things. Dan, have you ever heard of this book, The Liberal Mind, The Psychological Causes of Political Madness?
No.
I'm going to order this book. I was just reading the... there's a website, liberalmind.com, and it talks about human nature and the liberal mind, and it describes how modern liberal collectivism undermines the legal and moral foundations of ordered liberty. And there's a lot more on the website, but I wanted to see if you've heard of that before.
No, who's the author? Do we know offhand?
Yeah, the author is Lyle Rossiter, okay. Jr., M.D.
M.D., see, okay, all right.
And
there you go.
I mean, it's from what I'm reading, it's a great description. It's less than $20, and it looks like it's from a few years ago, but obviously still very relevant today.
Well, you know,
and it breaks down the goals of the modern liberal agenda. It breaks down the psychology. It breaks down the moral and legal foundations of individual liberty versus the liberal modern agenda, and so much more. It's all listed on the website, liberalmind.com. But that, I was looking at this due to a story on the Associated Press. Associated Press issues new guidance on sex, gender. Avoid referring to both or either sexes. Today, subscribers using listed updated entries for its style manual, the AP or Associated Press is using journalists to avoid making references in news stories that suggest there are only two sexes in the human race.
I'll keep my manual from, I think it's 1985. I've got it on my desk. It's the... citation and style manual. Yes.
They say the term gender is not synonymous with sex. Gender refers to a person's social identity, while sex refers to biological characteristics. Not all people fall under one of two categories for sex or gender, according to the leading medical organizations, so avoid references to both, either, or opposite sexes or genders as a way to encompass all people.
Yeah.
When needed for clarity or in certain stories about scientific studies, alternatives include men and women, boys and girls, males and females.
You can't fix stupid. You can't fix insanity. You can treat insanity. You can appeal to stupid, but you can't fix either one.
And you can't use they, them, or their because it might offend people who are not comfortable with the traditional male or female personal pronouns.
Really?
That's
well,
what they say.
Okay.
But this is the Associated Press. And you talk about the liberal insanity. And needing to understand the liberal mind. I mean, you have you know, half these snowflake insane liberals who are, you know, LGBTQ advocating for the Muslim religion and immigrants, when the Muslim religion itself talks about how, and in other countries, executes homosexuals. The same thing with
it's the amazing.
It's the people marching, Joe.
The people marching.
I used to disagree with people who say liberalism is a mental disorder.
No, it's got to be, because
there's something there. There is something there, and I think that Faith Goldie explained it really well in the segment she was on. She talked about how, you know, how they're taking away the ability of people to debate, and when words fail, violence begins. And I think that was a very accurate statement.
I believe she did say that one of her, in that video that she did.
I mean, if you spend any time on The Hill or Mediaite reading through comments.
Oh, it's crazy, isn't it?
Your head will explode. Mine almost does every time. And just to see these people defend, you know, no morals or pushing moral limits and, you know, just this perverse way of thinking and living, it is, I even told John yesterday or today, I said, I have to question myself when I see how people believe this. It's so backwards and upside down. I have to question my own common sense to see if I'm the one who's messed up. But obviously, with a biblical foundation and worldview, you can't go wrong with that. Folks, when we come back, Kevin Shipp will be joining us. Don't go anywhere.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
There shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. It'll blow you away. Absolutely, Erickson.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Chang Close in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We're offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Armies kit. It contains 12 homeopathic armies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Armies kit at www.changelessonwoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
Thank you.
anti-terrorism expert. He's held several high-level positions in the CIA. He was assigned as a protective agent for the director of Central Intelligence. He was a counterintelligence investigator, team leader, protecting sensitive CIA assets from assassination. How'd you like to have that job, huh? I mean, you think you got a tough job? Think about that one. Lead instructor for members of allied governments and internal staff security investigator and polygraph examiner tasked with protecting the CIA from foreign agent penetration. And I'm going to tell you, M. Stanton Evans, the author of Blacklisted by History, I often refer to that book in this program. Senator Joe McCarthy was correct in his statement. Or in his assertion about the communist infiltration in our government post-World War II, and M. Stanton Evans really did a great job. May he rest in peace with respect to laying it all out. The history that we've been told is not correct. Before we get to our guest, folks, if you haven't done so already, grab a hold of the books written by T.C. Joseph, a good friend of the program. It's a trilogy. He's got three books, all dealing with current events, and actually it's current events meets prophecy, basically, and he gets into a lot of incredible stories. The character development in his books, it's just fantastic. His first book is Precipice, second is Pentecost, and third is Penance. He's a talented writer. A good friend of the program. You can go to thisgenerationseries.com for his books, or you can go to Amazon as well. But definitely grab a hold of This Generation Series by T.C. Joseph. He's, again, a very talented writer. And speaking of talented writers, if you really want a good read from the Company of Shadows, Kevin Shipp is the author of that book as well. That's always in our office on our bookshelf or on one of our nightstands. It's an amazing book. It's by Kevin Shipp, our guest right now. Again, former CIA officer and anti-terrorism expert. And folks, if you haven't caught some of Mr. Shipp's presentations on the internet about the deep state, you gotta do so. But he's here with us now. And without any further ado, thank you, my friend, for coming back and joining us on the Hagman Report.
Thanks, Doug. It's good to be here.
It's great to have you. You know, and thanks for filling in. We were talking during the break. Roger Stone was scheduled to be here, and you know how it is. I mean, you were involved in this this political stuff. You said he's in the eye of the hurricane, and man, what a hurricane it is, being an enemy of the deep state, as you are as well.
Yeah, yes, and our thoughts and prayers go out to Roger. He is in the eye of the hurricane against this shadow government that we're talking about, or the deep state, which is coined by Peter Dale Scott. They are after him. They're after President Trump. For the first time in history since JFK, the shadow government and deep state is hanging out there in plain view, and it's being questioned and it's being looked at, and we are seeing an absolute firestorm in Washington and beyond. And, of course, Roger's caught up in the middle of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was following the hearings. You're the guy really to ask about this. The hearings that were held last week, the Senate, the Intelligence Committee, the House Intelligence Committee. That's correct, right?
House Select Committee on Intelligence.
Thank you. Thanks.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, I had a lot of things bouncing around in there. What did you think of those?
Well, I've had that's a good question. I've had experiences with the intelligence committees, both House and Senate, in the past, and they're a difficult a group in that a lot of times there are things that you would like to get through the committees and don't get through. You have to remember they're staffed with congressmen and senators, and they have political kind of pressure on them also. So in this case, when Chairman Nunes has just come out, what he did was relatively heroic in revealing some of the NSA surveillance that has been connected to Donald Trump. That's the first time anything like this of this level has come out of any of the intelligence committees. So they have a function, but having been inside having dealt with the intelligence committees and having seen things withheld from getting in public, you know, there's a good side and a not so good side. But for Chairman Nunes to come out and reveal what he did is absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, phenomenal, because he's getting a lot of heat, of course. You tune into some of the progressive stations or MSNBC and the like, people's heads are exploding, saying, well, he spoke out of turn, he shouldn't have said that, he should have. But without respect to that, a lot of people don't believe, or a lot of people are looking at first of all, I think a lot of people are fooled about what's really taking place. I think a lot of people don't understand the process. You understand the process, the FISA process, the Article 3 wiretaps or Article 3 surveillance or Title 3 surveillance and the difference between the two. Before we get into like the bigger picture, what happened? I mean, can you, in simple terms, explain what we saw this past week with the hearing, with respect to Comey and Rogers, and really what the entire issue is about, based on your experience and knowledge?
Sure. Of course, you know, coming from the belly of the beast and having fought this personally, I can kind of see things from the inside, and it's pretty clear what they have done is they've taken legal laws, and as they have done many times, they've skirted and kind of manipulated those. And with the FISA Act and the FISA regulation and guidelines, the FBI and the NSA can tap into a phone, text mail, what have you, if there is a foreign target, a possible foreign intelligence target of the United States, but they cannot tap into any communications allegedly of U.S. citizens. If they do, if a U.S. citizen is communicating with, let's say in this case, the Russian ambassador, the NSA is required to black out, they call it mask, to mask all the names of any U.S. persons involved in that surveillance. What is dramatic here is, and this is what Chairman Nunes courageously came out and revealed, is it is pretty clear that they unmasked the names of Donald Trump and some of his campaign team in this NSA surveillance, revealing their names, not just the NSA, but if you remember Obama, who is certainly connected to the deep state shadow government without a doubt. Before Barack Obama left office, he passed a sweeping legislation allowing NSA surveillance transcripts to be disseminated to all the other 15 intelligence agencies in the U.S. government. That is a huge dissemination. So you've got this foreign surveillance of these foreign parties, and there are three different investigations going on, but you've got foreign surveillance of these foreign parties. Included in that surveillance was Donald Trump and some members of his cabinet and team. Their names were originally masked or blacked out. It is pretty apparent that their names were unmasked. So when this information went to the other 15 intelligence agencies, and we're talking tens of thousands of people potentially, Donald Trump's name was unmasked and revealed. Members of his cabinet were unmasked and revealed. And I can tell you right now, you guys, from personal experience, if that was done, that is a felony. That's criminal activity.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's, you know, one of the big things about when we talk about the deep state and the undermining of Trump that first came out was these leaks, these classified leaks that were coming out. There was a number of leaks that were crimes that were committed. But nobody seems to be wanting to get to the bottom of this, or we haven't seen any action against the leakers. And I believe it was even narrowed down to, what did I read, 50 people or 100 or 50 people, maybe even less than that. And now we have the unmasking.
Well, that's what he was saying. But you were also talking, though, about thousands of people. And am I correct in also believing that this could involve, because of what Obama did, not just domestic, but also international intelligence assets?
Well, that's a little different story. There's been a lot of talk of British DCHQ and others. That's a little different. And, of course, not to go into the depth of that, but that's a little more difficult for even British or allied foreign intelligence services to get access to this information. That's kind of done on a more compartmented basis. So when this information goes out, based on the law that Obama passed, when it goes out to just to the 15 U.S. intelligence agencies. Now, could they disseminate it to a foreign allied government or intelligence? Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, they
could. All right. Yeah, I wasn't sure. You know, we were talking about this earlier, and that goes to your question. But so the data collection, and you've been speaking about this forever, folks. Kevin Shipp is our guest, and his book, From the Company of Shadows, it's really required reading. Follow him on Twitter as well. Just go to Twitter, Kevin Shipp, S-H-I-P-P. But
it's also on our show, right up on HagmanReport.com.
Absolutely, yes. But having said that, where is I going with this? You've got the surveillance. Well, let me stop there. Do you believe, based on your experience, could this have been ordered at the administrative level, like from the White House?
Yes. And let me, I think, explain something that would be probably good for your listeners to hear. There's a lot of talk about the shadow government now and the deep state. And you remember, I think we all talked several years ago, a couple of us came out talking about the shadow government when it wasn't cool. And
<That's right. laughs>
really took a huge risk. And it was questionable for a while there. And now everybody's talking about the deep state and the shadow government because it's a lot more safe, I think. But they're missing a very, very important point because it's kind of the spin that's put on this. They're saying that, well, Obama left some deep state plants within the government, the CIA and other intelligence agencies. These are Obama deep state plants deep within these agencies. Yes, there are Obama people in there. His former NSC is partly responsible, but we have to understand that the shadow government and the deep state is far more than just Obama plants. It includes neocons in Washington and others going into the military industrial complex and people deeply connected into that and Halliburton and on and on and on. So it's not just Obama plants. It's a much, much bigger picture than that. And this massive shadow government matrix structure has not been challenged since JFK. And we're seeing things rock in Washington because of that. So this is an all-out assault, in my view, on Donald Trump, because he has, many times before he got into office, stated that he was going to do an investigation of the dark parts of government, the CIA and others. He was going to clean the swamp of some of these things. So he's a direct threat to the shadow government. You go back the last 40 years and see what the CIA and other parts of the secret government have done, some of the false flags and other things, there's a lot of skeletons in the closet. I am certain of that. So they are ganging up on him with every quadrant that they have, and they are trying to destroy him. I think that's pretty obvious to everyone. And for the first time publicly, people are seeing the deep state shadow government right out there in front of their eyes, actually operating. This hasn't happened, as I said, since JFK.
Man. Okay.
Kevin, if I can ask you, I don't know if you saw what Judge Napolitano on Fox News said about GCHQ and the Obama outsourcing the intelligence gathering to the British agency. He was kind of put on temporary leave after that, and he had it confirmed by three sources, I believe, which was one more than the standard needed, the journalistic standards. Any insight or thoughts on that?
Yeah, first of all, Judge Napolitano, I think, is one of the greatest constitutionalists we have in this country. I'm a big fan of his, and I'm sure he will recover from this just fine. The problem with that information is that there are sources out there, former CIA people, former people who say they were CIA people, people who were CIA and say they have access that they didn't, and it is a minefield. For someone that is actually in the CIA and has a CIA clearance, for them to reveal to anyone, to a member of the press or otherwise, that there was a connection with GCHQ, it's top secret covert information, they would be terminated and probably face prison. So the penalties are high. So that sort of thing rarely happens. It can happen. It does happen. But it rarely happens. And to get these people to come out and confirm what they're saying is virtually impossible, because they're claiming information that is secret and within the CIA and the NSA in this case. So it's real difficult to prove that, and someone coming out as a source and saying that it's so, that's a minefield. And there's a lot of that out there now, and the sources that talked to the judge, I'm sure were good ones, but you just have to be abundantly careful. So you just can't get hard evidence from a secret organization, and that's of course part of the problem.
Exactly. And again, folks, our guest is Kevin Shipp. He's a former CIA officer and anti-terrorism expert. He's well known throughout the intelligence community.
And we want to give a special thank to Brent Belsky and Spy Theater.
Yes.
They are the PR people that work with Kevin Shipp. So again,
great
a big
people.
Thank you to Spy Theater and Brent Belsky.
Yes. And yeah, Mr. Shipp, you've got great people working on your behalf and with you.
Brent Belsky, he's a great man, good friend of mine.
That's fantastic. So just to kind of recap, and really, we just love to listen to you. Before tonight's program, we were talking, and when we were talking about your segment, we were thinking, you've given so many great presentations, your knowledge about the deep state. So we want to do more listening than talking. But before that, I want to ask you, do you believe what we're seeing right now? Obviously, this is a coup, and I think you had referenced this in one of your appearances, one of your presentations recently. To me, this is a coup of government. Do you see? Well, I got about 1,000 questions right now, ready to go. Number one, with respect to the unmasking, leaking that information, do you see any kind of anybody going to jail for this or being held accountable for this?
That's the sad part, Doug. If you remember going back, John Brennan and the CIA hacked into the Senate computers and stole information on the CIA torture program.
Yeah.
That was a flat-out felony for the CIA domestically, even especially to hack into the Senate computers and steal information is a felony. Was John Brennan prosecuted? Well, no. Was anyone in the CIA prosecuted? No. You remember when the NSA hacked into phone calls between Congress and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu about the Iran nuclear deal? Did anyone go to jail for that? No. No one. Was anyone indicted? No. Was there even a hearing or investigation? No. This is the deep state. It commits felonies
with impunity.
With impunity. That's right. And then prosecutes your average American or anybody that dares have, even like John Kirikou, a good friend of mine, spent 2 years in prison for a slip of the tongue. Good CIA officer, decorated CIA officer. So they'll go after to a good, innocent person who made a very simple mistake, which I have to be careful of all the time. And yet when the heads of these departments commit direct, flat-out, intentional felonies, they walk completely. That is the shadow government.
Indeed. And if anyone knows, it's Kevin Shipp, our guest, and you can follow him on Twitter, Kevin Shipp on Twitter. From the Company of Shadows, his book, I highly recommend that. I really do. A man of much integrity and character, and a guy that does know about the deep state, about really what's going on. So, okay, the current climate. The last time we had you on, it was a couple of years ago. A lot of things have changed. My goodness. I mean, I think even it was pre-Benghazi, but so much has happened. You know, the landscape as you see it. Take us where you'd like to go at this point and start, because I almost feel that like our questions would be almost minimal compared to your bird's eye view of the geopolitical landscape as to what's going on. So where do we stand right now with President Trump, with Obama as the part of the shadow government, the intelligence agencies apparently at war with our administration? I mean, I don't even know where to even start.
It's a shocking set of circumstances. You have a president elect, and now an elected sitting president under direct assault by U.S. intelligence agencies. I mean, if you wanted to sum it up, that's it right there. They are literally trying to destroy our president. Whether someone likes Trump or not, that's up to their political view. But this is the president of the United States under direct assault by our intelligence agencies. And that is clear. If you go through, I like to say you'll know a man by his enemies. And if you look at the things, the people that have stood against Donald Trump before his election and now that are part of the intelligence community, let's start with General Michael Hayden. Former director of the NSA, former director of the CIA, came out and said that Donald Trump is a useful fool of the Russians. Well, this is the same Michael Hayden that engineered and architected the NSA domestic surveillance program that spied on everything we say, do, and write a felony, according to the Constitution, coming out trying to stop Donald Trump from being elected. Then you've got acting director of the CIA, Mike Morrell, coming out saying he will do everything he can, or said he could, he would do everything he could to stop Donald Trump from being elected, and everything he could do to get Hillary Clinton elected. Well, this is the same Mike Morrell that changed the Benghazi talking points and intentionally removed references to Al-Qaeda from those talking points. You've got Charles Schumer, the Senate Minority Leader. I don't know if you guys remember what Schumer came out when Trump said that he was questioning what the CIA was saying. Schumer came out on the Rachel Maddow show and said, well, basically, he needs to be careful. Because the intelligence community can get back to you six ways from Sunday.
Yeah.
Now think about how chilling that is. You better not talk about the CIA president-elect, because if you do, they're going to come back and get you. That's what he said. You have James Comey. Now, we know that James Comey sat on, I believe it was Lockheed Martin, made $6 million a year while they were donating to the Clinton Foundation. His brother Peter does the taxes for the Clinton Foundation, and on and on, and Comey goes. So Comey lays out a case for prosecution with direct evidence for Hillary Clinton's criminal activity, and then he doesn't charge her. Everybody's sitting out there, and you remember Trey Gowdy was outraged. Everybody's sitting out there, their jaws dropped. There was enough evidence. So he doesn't prosecute Hillary Clinton with all of her global connections, Saudi contributions to the Clinton Foundation while she's in office, the emails on her private secret server in her house, and on, he doesn't prosecute that, but he does an investigation on President Donald Trump when it's been said several times they found no evidence of collusion. So you can see these people surrounding Donald Trump in this fashion, and every single one of them is a career deep member of the shadow government, and we could go into their backgrounds even further than this, because some of them are pretty dark. So you kind of can know Donald Trump by his enemies. These people did not want him in office because he had said that he was questioning the CIA, that he was going to investigate things that the CIA had done, and now he's in office, and they do not want him conducting those investigations.
No, they don't, and they don't.
Yeah.
I mean, the as you just said, and my dad, I think he said it earlier today, you can not only judge a person by the friends they keep, but by the enemies they have.
But
you
just said, yeah.
Just saying, I've had the way people have latched on to Trump is almost like it reminds me of, we've seen how people and how the government, it's been shown, people can't trust the government. They're spying on you. They're taking your money. They're doing all these things that are unconstitutional, trying to undermine our moral foundations, our judicial and legal foundations in so many different ways. And then somebody like Trump comes along, and a lot of people, and for good reason, he's an outsider, he's much a different person than these career politicians, it gives them some hope. But I also saw a lot of people removing themselves from the fight, from the they think Trump's going to solve all their problems, kind of like what Obama did when he had everybody on his bandwagon at the beginning, and that's a little troublesome. But the more I see, as you said, the senators, the congressmen, all the media pundits, the intelligence agencies, both nationally and internationally, these people coming after him, it makes me wonder if he isn't really a true outsider candidate that's trying to affect some positive change to get this country back on track. And I do believe he is. I've just always wondered if there's...
You know what, from left field, can you tell me, do you think, based on your own assessment, did Donald Trump plan to win? Did he expect to win?
Well, I think he did. I think that's a Donald Trump. I think he planned to win because that's kind of Donald Trump's personality. I do think that. I know there's a lot of people that think that was all part of a big operation. But no, I think he did plan to win, and I think that was reinforced every time he went out and there were throngs of people that came to his speeches. It was pretty clear to him at that point, and by everyone else that watched the size of the audience, said, wait a minute, this guy could win. So I think when he was 6 months or so out, I think he was pretty convinced that he could do it.
Kevin, what I was going to ask you is...
yeah, I interrupted. Go ahead.
We have, the midterm elections coming up, and we see all these congressmen and senators, and we can gauge, what they want for this country moving forward. Are they anti-Trump or are they anti-American? We see their sentiments almost clear as day now, which is one thing Trump has done either intentionally or unintentionally, is people are being shown some of these leaders' true colors. The midterm elections, Do you believe that we will see an influx of more American-centric, freedom, constitutional-loving people, or do we think we'll get more of the same, even riding this populist wave through the midterm elections?
Well, I think sadly because the I call it the state-controlled media has ginned this up, and of course Soros is in there with his multiple organizations and Media Matters and on and on and on. We go out there publicizing these twisted messages to the American public, and they're going out all over the place, and they've ratcheted that up tenfold. That's going to have an impact on the elections when they do come up. It's kind of concerning. What's going to happen now? The good side of that is you look back and you saw what happened to Donald Trump. We all know we've got friends, family, and people we've known for a long time that were just waiting for an opportunity to throw some of these corrupt people out of Washington. Those people are still there. That sentiment is still there.
Folks, we're talking with Kevin Shipp, and he's going to be with us in through the next segment, in through the next hour. His book,
From the Company of Shadows.
From the Company of Shadows.
It's required reading. It really is.
And at Kevin_Shipp on Twitter, I just went back and I wasn't following, so I made sure I followed him there, and you should do the same. We'll be right back with Mr. Shipp after these short messages. Don't go anywhere.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the Belly of the Beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God Particle before CERN actually discovered the God Particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, danielholdings.com. That's danielholdings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to danielholdings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest-yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high-net-worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.